Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 113 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her loss. Before we get into this segment, please know that this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate and review this podcast because we love to hear from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
You know, in this segment, we're going to be talking about a tough issue, and that is the loss of a baby, how to deal with the aftermath. But thank heavens we have an expert, Dr. Carly Snyder, who's going to help us walk through this. Dr. Snyder graduated from Emory University in neuroscience and behavioral biology, went to medical school at New York University, and completed her internship in general adult psychiatry residency at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City. And she attained some specialized elective training in reproductive psychiatry. Yeah, there's such a thing. Good grief. And also selected achievements include clinical course director of reproductive psychiatry at Mount Sinai Beth Israel. You know, she has been devoting herself to looking at this whole issue of what happens when a woman goes through something like the loss of a child. Dr. Snyder, welcome to the Her podcast.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you and your listeners.
I just think that this is a topic that's not discussed enough. I really do. And, you know, I mean, don't you? Isn't this why you got involved in this in the first place?
Absolutely. You know, up to half of women will have a miscarriage, and yet we don't talk about it. You know, it's a loss that can affect us so profoundly. And on a cognitive level, we all say, oh, it's not your fault. It's not my fault. But when it happens, so often we feel this sense of guilt and shame. So we don't talk about it.
Well, I think that number that you just said, that half of women experience, I mean, this is just, that's a huge number.
Huge.
And I think a lot of women blow it off like, well, it only happens to a few people out there or back and forth, but, that's absolutely incorrect. And you know, I'm kind of thinking to myself, my own mother had two miscarriages, yet we went on to have five kids, right, in the family. And, it was just one of those things and one of those days. And, I think it's a lot more ubiquitous than women think. One of the best, gifts you give us is a way to be able to look at the stages of grief following a miscarriage. I'd love to go through those five stages, starting with shock and denial.
Absolutely. So, you know, I just want to say these grief stages are really no different, fundamentally than any type of grief. So, you know, there's the really well-known Kubler-Ross grief steps, right? And this is taken from that kind of framework, so to speak. So the first step is shock and denial. This is when, you know, a woman either A, gets her period after having an ultrasound and there's no heartbeat, and, or, you know, she's told like there's no way this pregnancy is going to continue. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. That's not possible. Right? I was just pregnant. This morning I woke up and I was pregnant. This isn't real. And there's this sense of, you know, absolute, shock is really the best word because it's incredible, right? Your life just literally takes a 180, and it is one of those things you can't prepare for. And what's interesting, you know, is that for some women, depending on where they are within their pregnancy, they may still have some short-term nausea while their hormone levels go down, right? So it makes it even harder to believe they're not pregnant because they're still feeling those symptoms. If they're farther along in pregnancy, sometimes, you know, women may have some gas or some other GI disturbance, and they may attribute them to almost like a phantom kicking. And again, this reinforces a sense of like, wait, this isn't true. I am pregnant. It's this like disbelief in what in fact is reality, that there is no longer a pregnancy. But it's just such a shocking experience, because in truth, it's not just, I mean, one thing to remember is the grief is not just about the actual pregnancy. And I always think this is a really important thing to remember, because sometimes people will say, well, you were only X weeks pregnant, right? And that's not a fair statement, because in truth, you could have just learned you were pregnant. It doesn't really matter. You're still allowed to grieve, because when you're given a due date, all of a sudden you have a mental image of what your life is going to be, what your family is going to look like, what holidays will look like, right? So you're given a due date, let's say in October, all of a sudden you think, well, Thanksgiving will look like this. I'll have a little baby. You know, the holidays will look like this, et cetera. Then when miscarriage happens, all of a sudden that is gone, right? Washed away in one fell swoop. And so this life that you imagined that you kind of clung to and started to connect with is taken away from you. And there's nothing you can do. There's no amount of willing or hope that will bring it back. And that's pretty painful.
That's beyond painful. Well, after the shock and denial, there's anger. That's the second stage. Why anger? And why doesn't a woman just plummet into depression at that point?
Well, anger, you know, anger is a really natural response to a lot of things, right? Why me? Why my pregnancy? Like, you walk down the street and a woman may see a woman pushing a baby in a stroller, or may see a woman who's very pregnant and say, hey, why is she able to get through this and I'm not? This isn't fair, right? This notion of fairness. I did everything right. I took my prenatals, or I ate well, and I did this and that. I went to my OB. This isn't okay, right? Because in truth, we all know women did not do anything wrong to lead to miscarriage. You can't cause a miscarriage by way of your action necessarily. So we get angry because it's not fair, right? And what can happen is that this anger and this irritability can basically be projected onto other people, right? So you might find yourself yelling at your partner more. You might find yourself yelling at friends. And also, it can be very difficult because other people are not going to experience the loss the same way as the woman who has miscarried. A partner may be very sad, but they're not physically going through the experience, and they may have a different timeline for their sense of grief. So at this point, sometimes people are angry also, like, hey, why aren't you more upset? Or why don't you feel the same way as me? But, you know, anger is frankly it's a natural response when things don't go as planned and aren't fair.
Absolutely. And then the next step, the next stage of grief is the bargaining stage. What's that about?
So bargaining is it's an interesting stage. It's a stage where we try to regain some level of control, right? This is a stage where we say, you know, if I do X, Y, or Z, then it's going to work out next time, right? So you look for things that theoretically went wrong, or theoretically could be done better, and say to yourself, okay, next time I'm only going to eat this way, or next time I'm going to change my prenatal vitamins to be like this, or I'm going to get more sleep, or I'm going to take all the toxic chemicals out of my house, or and not wear any makeup that has toxins, et cetera, right? Things that rationally we can say, you know, really is not going to make a difference. in terms of whether or not a miscarriage occurs. But in this time of grief, you look to anything that you can kind of tangibly hold on to as like, I can make it better. I can try and control the situation in a time where you really feel out of control. And sometimes when women kind of latch onto the idea of, I found a way that I can fix it, sometimes women will try to conceive right away, right? Because they want to just like remedy the situation and make it better. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't.
Interesting, because I know a lot of women who would like to do that and just sort of almost erase the fact that it ever happened mm-hmm. in the first place.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, again, this is painful stuff. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But after the bargaining stage, right, you've got depression. Now, talk to us. You're a psychiatrist. You know, mm-hmm. what's going on? Is this kind of like postpartum?
Well, it depends on the woman, right? So depression, I mean, it's a big word, obviously, right? And the biggest thing to know about this stage is for some women, yes, we're talking about real clinical depression, but for some women, we're really talking about a period of sadness and awareness that the loss is real, right? That there's nothing you can do to change it, that whether you change your diet or all of the things that happened in the last days, right? Same reality kind of sets in that this is not something one can control. And this is a reality that is never going to go away. And kind of the awareness of the future. Okay, I have to live with the fact that I miscarried. It becomes very difficult. Now, for some women, this is a very short phase. For some women, it's a longer phase. The, you know, which woman is going to have a shorter time within this? Well, we don't necessarily know. We know a woman who has never experienced any form of depression or anxiety in the past may get through this phase a little faster. A woman who may have a history of depression or anxiety or may otherwise have some symptoms already, she may have a more difficult time getting out of this stage because she's already at risk. You know, and one of those things that while it is a natural step in the grieving process, if it is a step that you find you're having a really difficult time transitioning out of, where you're really having a hard time functioning and getting through the day, you're not socializing, you're not engaging, you're not sleeping well, or you're sleeping all the time, you're not eating the way that you usually eat, you have very low energy, and you kind of have no interest in things. You don't have much of a sense of joy. You can't really imagine the future. And in the worst case scenario, you're suicidal. Any of these things, you really need to reach out for help because there's no reason to go it alone. Obviously, speak to your partner and loved ones, but also speak to someone who's trained in working with women who are suffering from perinatal mental illness, which, you know, as you said correctly, miscarrying, your hormones do go down. Right. Just like after delivery, obviously it depends on where you are in the pregnancy, how high your hormones were before. But research has shown us that women can suffer from a postpartum depression following miscarriage.
More with Dr. Pam Peek and the Her podcast coming up. But first, a thanks to our sponsor, Molecule. Do you have long-standing allergy and or asthma problems? Do you want to breathe easier and reduce your allergy and asthma symptoms? Tired of breathing aids that just don't work? Then let me introduce you to Molecule Air Purifiers. Molecule introduces a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level. What does that mean? Molecule erases the full spectrum of indoor air pollutants, including those 1,000 times smaller than what a HEPA filter can catch, so you can breathe easier and experience the life-changing effects of clean air. In fact, one customer performer even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Molecule has already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. So get Molecule and breathe easy. Order now and use the code HER, H-E-R, for $75 off your first order. Please visit molecule.com, that's M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com, and use the code HER to save $75. That's molecule.com. And now, back to Dr. Pam Peek and the HER Podcast.
This really becomes an incredibly complex and tough challenge. And this finally takes us then. We've looked at shock and denial, anger, bargaining stage, depression. Now let's go to acceptance. What's that about?
Right. So I do want to make one little point, is that it's not always a linear track. Sometimes people do go backwards. It's like, you know, two steps forward, one step back concept.
Gotcha.
And that's
gotcha.
Okay. And I don't want anyone to think, well, I was there, so that means I've shut the door, and then somehow feel like there's something wrong if they go backwards. It's okay to go backwards. You know, sometimes people go backwards and then they go forwards and they go forwards again. It's okay to have times where you go back and back and then forwards and forwards and forwards. It's okay. So the last stage is acceptance. It's when you realize, okay, I can live with this experience. I can move through it and move forward. You know, initially, sometimes in this stage, paradoxically, the beginning of this stage can actually throw you back towards depression, because sometimes people will say, oh, I feel really guilty because it's been days without thinking of this miscarriage. I feel really awful. What's wrong with me? And they actually go back to feeling sad again. But then they transition forward and they start to feel okay. There's no timeline on this, but at the end of acceptance, you've learned to live with the fact that you had the miscarriage. It kind of becomes a part of your life in terms of, you know, a fabric of your history, but it is not the defining moment within your life, nor does it define your daily existence anymore. You know, no one is suggesting that you shouldn't forget it, right? You're always going to have a memory of the experience because it was one that impacted your life, but it should be one that you can think back towards without, you know, crying hysterically and without having a, you know, gut-wrenching response to. And that takes time. That takes time, and also for some people, that may mean having another child. It may not. It may just happen all by itself.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just really important for women to know that A, miscarriage is very common, it happens for a boatload of physiologic reasons. Some babies in very, very, very early pregnancies just run into biological problems. These are technical problems more than anything else, and that fetus no longer is viable. And it's a very tough situation. There's no question about that. And I really think it's important for a woman to get the appropriate support during that time. So if a woman is out there in somewhere in our wonderful, you know, world out there, where should she seek help? You know, because so many medical practices are not really geared to deal with this. Where should she go? What would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend she can look on postpartum.net is a Postpartum Support International website. And there are coordinators for every state and many international countries. And coordinators can connect her with a therapist or a psychiatrist who is trained in working with women who have suffered from loss, or have postpartum depression or any perinatal mental illness, or mental experience. You know, illness is kind of a loaded word.
Right. Right.
But PSI, being Postpartum Support International, is a great resource. So again, postpartum.net The other thing I think it's really important for women to remember is your body will protect a pregnancy that should be protected. Meaning, let's say you tripped, right? And you fell on your belly. That's okay. That's not why you miscarried. Your body has so many layers of support between that fetus and the outside world on purpose. Our bodies are really smart. If you miscarry, it's because there's something awry. There's something went wrong somewhere, and the body is protecting you and a theoretical future child that can't be. So you didn't do anything wrong. You couldn't have done something better. You didn't mess up. It's just, you know, our bodies are meant to carry viable pregnancies. And if it's not viable, it's not going to work, as you said. But guilt, there's no role for guilt. There's no benefit from feeling guilty. And, you know, blaming oneself really gets you nowhere in the process. So
I think that what you just said is probably one of the most powerful pieces with this entire, you know, issue of the loss of a baby through miscarriage. And that is, you know, what do I do wrong? You know, and that issue of shoulda, coulda, woulda. A woman, mm-hmm. you know, starts turning on that mental Cuisinart up there, and it just goes round and round and round, and she begins to obsess about it. I think that one of the most important things a therapist could do is to really deal with that guilt piece, because the rest of it is, you know, a fairly natural aftermath. I see that. I just see guilt as being one of the biggest speed bumps here. Because obviously when something goes awry, the first thing a woman does is, what do I do? What did I mm-hmm. do wrong? You know, did I not have enough organic food? Did I, you know, on and on. And I'm just here to tell you as a physician, there are just literally countless technical things that can go wrong when you conceive a baby. It's very difficult. And so please don't feel guilty at all. Now, clearly, if you're doing irresponsible things like, right, you know, doing right. drugs and all the rest of it, I mean, that's fairly straightforward. That's, you know, sort of a keen grasp of the obvious. You don't want to ever abuse yourself, because you're not just abusing yourself, you're abusing your child. But that aside, if you're a responsible person with excellent self-care, et cetera, well, then for crying out loud, listen to what Dr. Carly Snyder said. She said, it's okay. It happens, and take good care of yourself. How about one more word of wisdom from you, Dr. Snyder?
You know, just take care of yourself emotionally through this. I think so many of us as women, right, our go-to is to plow forward, right? We just we can do it all, right? We don't have, oh, sure, I'll do this, I'll do that, blah, blah, blah. Miscarriage hurts, and you are allowed to, and you should take time to process the grief. Let yourself feel sad. Let yourself feel the emotions of this experience. Talk to loved ones. Talk to your partner or your friends or all of the above. Don't hold it in. Don't, you know, kind of keep it to yourself and move along as if nothing happened. Because something did happen, and that's okay. As you just said, you didn't do anything wrong, but you deserve the time and the space to feel what you're feeling. And that's the only way, and that's the best way, to truly resolve this period in a positive way and then move forward and live your life in a very healthy, positive way. And, you know, bad things happen to all of us. But you deserve the opportunity to, you know, process it with whomever you need to, including a therapist, if necessary.
And that's good.
Therapy is so helpful.
And therapy is so terribly important. And who knows it better than Dr. Carly Snyder, a nationally renowned expert in this field. Carly, thank you so much. And to learn more about her wonderful work, please go to Carly, that's C-A-R-L-Y, Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, MD.com, CarlySnyderMD.com. Thank you, Dr. Snyder, and everyone out there. Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And then after this episode, please take a moment and rate and review this marvelous segment. It's a really deep and rich segment. And tell us your thoughts. We love your feedback, so come on, rate and review us. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Please follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.